Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 24. My message tonight is operating in tangible power. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody get excited tonight. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on Santa Claus. You can do it. Operating in tangible power, Mark chapter 5, verse 24. And Jesus went with him, that's talking about Jairus, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. In verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, go in faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. And while he yet spake, a ruler from the synagogue's house, certain which said, your daughter is dead. And then he went on and raised up Jairus' daughter from the dead. But verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, that word virtue means power. It means dunamis power. You know, in the ministry of Jesus and in the ministry of Paul and in Peter's ministry, they possessed something that was a game changer everywhere that they went. And one thing I love about their ministry is they weren't asking for revival. They weren't waiting for revival. They weren't tarrying for revival. Their message and their power demanded revival everywhere that they went. Can you say amen tonight? They possessed something that was more than just a message. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that he didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he came in the demonstration of the power of God. And Jesus came in the demonstration of the power of God. And God has given you and I the ability to come in the demonstration of the power of God. I want to tell you right now that if our message about revival is that it's coming, then we're never going to really step into full revival. If our message about the move of God is that it's coming someday, then someday is never going to come. Tomorrow has to become today if we're going to see revival. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Don't get too quiet on me here. I got a lot of water so I can shout and drink some more and then lose my voice and I'll shout again. I'll drink everything up here if I have to tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't asking questions. You know, apologetics are important, but I'm telling you, when you got the power of God, that does all the explaining that needs to be done. When you manifest God's healing power, when you have tangible power, when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, tangible power was released. There was something on Jesus' physical body that was substantial enough, that was tangible enough, that when she touched him, power was released out of him and went into her. And God wants you to walk and operate in the same way that when people touch you, when somebody at work is hungry and they're hurting and they've had an argument at home and their spouse has just left them and you hear about it, that you get just close to them and the power of God is released and you pray for them and they're over there shouting and praising God in their seat. Hallelujah. And we see them at church the next Sunday morning. You want to know how this church is going to grow? You want to know how the revival is going to grow this church? It's going to take place by you getting a hold of the tangible power of God that He has given you and releasing it into the lives of other people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have somebody getting up here. I'll help you, Diana. I'll be your usher tonight and be your preacher. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul walked from city to city. He was led by the Lord. But I'm telling you, that man went into towns with no connections whatsoever, no existing church whatsoever. And the first things that he would do is make sure that people were saved. That's the first thing that he did. He would go into towns and say, "Under what baptism have you been baptized with?" And that in one town they responded, "Under John's baptism." In other words, they only knew about John the Baptist. That means they weren't even born again. So Paul got them saved, and then he immediately got them baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues. Everywhere that Paul went, that was his method. He didn't have to have all the great and glorious things. He didn't have to have backing and all these things. I mean, the man was a one-man wrecking crew for revival, for the moving of the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you right now that that's what God wants you to be here in these days. For God, for the revival to grow here at Calvary Cathedral, because I'm telling you, we are in perpetual revival here at Calvary Cathedral. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again and give you a chance to shout like you should. We are in perpetual revival here at Calvary Cathedral. Hallelujah. Every service is just going to keep getting hotter. But for it to continue to grow, the fire of God's got to spread out of your life. You can't just sit here and receive the baptism and the touch of the Holy Ghost service after service. If there's not anything that comes out of your heart, out of your mouth to somebody else, then revival has touched you, but it has stopped with you. Now, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm telling you, this is how it works. If you're hungry for God, that's good news. If you're not, if it's all about you, then I just gave you a dose of bad news. If that made you sad, then you can repent. If it made you glad, then just keep getting hungry for God. But if revival has touched you, but it hasn't gone out of you to touch anybody else, then it's time to make a change and an adjustment. Because as the move of God continues to grow, it's got to grow through other people coming into this house and other people are going to come into this house because they've been touched by you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus didn't have to go and just give people doctrine. He didn't have to go and present arguments. He didn't have to go and have a debate with a local secular university professor about whether or not God exists or whether or not God is real. He just went and demonstrated the power of God, and it was easy for him because he possessed the power of God. He had the tangible power of God dwelling on the inside of him, and everywhere that he went, people were able to get touched by his power. Hallelujah. That's what changes people. That's how revival grows. That's how the moving of the Spirit of God grows. I want to ask you this question right now. Between now and next Wednesday night, who is somebody that you can lay hands on and minister to? I want you to think about that. Every single person in here, who is somebody that you can lay hands on and minister to? What is one way that the fire can spread? Because if a fire isn't spreading, it's going to go out. If the fire of revival is not spreading, that fire is going to go out. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter how powerful you got touched in a prayer line. If you don't spread that to somebody else, the fire in your heart's going to go out. Now, it's not going out here at the church. It's not going out in pastor's life. It's not going out in these services. It's not going out when I'm preaching. It's not going out when Basil's here. But it may go out in your life if the fire doesn't spread to somebody else. When you've got the power of God, you have something to give. I mean, when you have an argument, you really don't have much to give. I've tried arguing and disputing and doing things like that, and yet all I've done is make people mad. I remember one time on the streets, I was talking with somebody, and I was witnessing to them, and I gave them the soul winning script. And you know, they always say, don't deviate from the soul winning script. But you know, so hundreds and hundreds of times I didn't deviate, but this one time I just was irritated and I deviated. And this guy was giving me a bunch of mental arguments, and I'm like, look, man, if God could be explained by your mind, then that means you're as smart as God, and you can explain God, and that is no God of mine if he's no smarter than you. And he didn't respond to that very well. He just got pretty irritated. I didn't win over any soul. But an argument isn't going to do the job, but when you've got the power, the tangible power of God, then something is going to change, praise God. That's why God has touched you. So I want to ask you tonight, between now and next Wednesday, I want you to think about this right now. Who is somebody that you can minister to? Where is an opportunity going to take place in your next week of life where you can lay hands on somebody and get them healed? That could be your spouse. That could be somebody in your family that's sick. Riley and I lay hands and pray for each other all the time. I'll tell you, this last few weeks I've had two or three headaches that I've had that I've been like, Riley, just come pray for me. And she's prayed for me and finished praying, and then a headache was gone. Hallelujah. We live and operate in this in this way. Hallelujah. But you got to release the power of God and reach out to somebody. Jesus here possessed power. Power was resident in his life. And that's what God is doing in these revival meetings. When you have hands laid on you, power is getting deposited into your heart. That's why it's so important that you be hungry for what God is doing. That's why it's so important that you be here and get hands laid on you. Because the power of God is literally transmitted from one person into another person. It's just like when Elisha was dead and they threw a dead soldier on top of him, and the power of God was resident inside of his dead, dry bones, so strong that it raised that man to life. I'm telling you, that's the power and the anointing of God that's tangible. We've got to get a hold of a power and an anointing from God that is tangible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because that's how the fire of God spreads. Without something tangible, we can't spread it into the lives of other people. Without something that's really, that we can get our hands on, without something that changes the life of somebody else, we can't reach somebody else. Hallelujah. Jesus possessed tangible power here. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. We're going to read another passage here. In verse 32. You see, there are waves of revival that come and hit. And there are times of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. But praise God, you can be the wave of the Spirit of God. You can be the person. You can be the conduit that God is using to touch other people. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you this right now. Revival is more in your hands than it is in God's hands. Revival is more in your hands than it is in God's hands. What greater baptism, what greater touch is God able to give than what He has given on the day of Pentecost? What greater baptism, what greater touch is God able to give than what He has poured out here in this church these last several months? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, and what more is, you know, let me ask you this question. At what point does God's deposit of the Holy Ghost and fire into your life have to reach before you finally say, oh, well, this is it. Now I'm going to go and reach other people. This is it. Now I'm going to actually start praying for the church services before I get there. This is it. Now I'm going to go and witness to somebody. Now I'm going to start praying and interceding for revival. At what point does the touch of the Spirit of God on your life have to reach before we say, this is it. We have arrived. It's revival time. What else does God have to do? Hallelujah. I'm here to stir you up tonight. I love to teach the word, but God's got me here stirring the pot, praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to have a great Christmas and enjoy it. I'm not saying that you have to make a soul-winning crusade out of your family when you get there, but witness to somebody, pray for them, do what you can. Enjoy Christmas, but I'm stirring you up right now because God has got greater increase for us, but we have got to give what we have received, praise God. Hallelujah. Paul, the apostle, was the wave of the Spirit everywhere that he went. Jesus was the wave of the Spirit of God everywhere that he went. Peter was the wave of the Spirit of God everywhere that he went. Hallelujah. Verse 32 of Mark chapter 7. And they bring unto Jesus one that was deaf, and he had an impediment in his speech. And they besought him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, whatever that word is, you can read it. I'm just going to pray in tongues. Epatha, that is, be opened. In verse 35, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain. And Jesus charged him that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. In verse 37, they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You see, Jesus here, he was telling them, don't go tell anybody what just happened. Now, there was a reason in that time period why Jesus had to tell them that, and that was because Jesus was headed to the cross. And he, in other passages, as you study the four Gospels, he didn't want the devil speaking out because they knew that he was the Christ. So there was a timing that was involved when he was going to be revealed as the Christ because of the persecution it was going to bring and ultimately take him to the cross. So Jesus wanted to minister to people, and that's why he was telling them, don't tell anybody. So just so you know, there's no reason to tell anybody that gets touched by God nowadays, don't go tell anybody. Now we want to tell everybody, go tell everybody. But the point is, this man was touched so mightily by the power of God that Jesus couldn't stop him from testifying. And I'm telling you, God wants that tangible power to be resident in your life, that people that you touch in your life, people you come in contact with, can't stop talking about what God has done. And I'm telling you, I want us to get more hungry for the moving of the Spirit of God. God's example right here in the Word is that revival fire spreads from the life that has a resident power on the inside of them. And it's time that that power of God get released. And I'm telling you, as you release the power of God into the lives of other people, it's going to grow in your life. Hallelujah. And these prayer lines up here, when you're getting hands laid on you, if it's Pastor, if it's Basil, if it's Dan, if it's me, the power of God's going to touch you stronger and greater than ever before because you have been releasing that into the lives of other people. I'm telling you right now that God has people at divine appointments for every single one of you in these next 7 days for you to release the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as I've said before, the healing ministry, the power of God, the healing ministry is not greater than the gospel message, but it does lift the salvation message to the place that it needs to be. Now, I want every single person in this place, when you're at Christmas dinner, when you're at New Year's dinner, when you're praying, I want you to be praying and thinking, God, who is somebody here that needs to be ministered to? And I'm telling you, if you're standing there praying, God's going to speak to you something, that Aunt so-and-so has got an emotional hurt from something, or she's got financial trouble, and you can just go over there and minister to Aunt so-and-so by that word of knowledge and watch what God's going to do. Begin to release the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The more you give, the more you're going to get. Jesus, everywhere that he went, he was ministering to people. Every day that he got up, he was laying hands on people. Every day that he got up, he was sharing the gospel message and telling people about the good news. Everywhere that he went, he was doing something with the gospel message. It's like when Elijah was there with a widow woman and he had the oil that was multiplying and she brought empty vessels. And the more that she brought in and filled, the more that that oil was multiplied, the more that you have people that you're ministering to, the more that God is going to increase what he's doing here at Calvary Cathedral. However, if you want to put a cap on what God does in your life, then don't minister to anybody. If you just get self-focused on the revival, self-focused on the moving of the Spirit of God, and it's just something for you to get touched, then it's going to stop with you. But I'm telling you, get hungry for the God to touch other people through you. Have a love in your heart for God to touch other people through you so that you can minister to somebody else and see their life get changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this is how the revival is going to explode from one level to another level here at Calvary Cathedral. And then 3 or 4 months later, it's going to explode to another level because people are ministering by the Spirit of God and releasing that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul in Acts chapter 19 says that handkerchiefs were taken from him and demons were cast out by the tangible power of God that was on those handkerchiefs. Peter's shadow was healing people. And there's no lucky ministry about, oh, I got the shadow healing ministry. It was because people got so close to him and the tangible power of God was so strong on him that they got hit by the power of God and were healed. Hallelujah. You want to grow to that point? Give what you've got. You say, David, I don't have anything. Yes, you have a deposit of the power of God on the inside of you tonight. If you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have a deposit of the power of the Spirit of God on the inside of you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did we read this in John chapter 7 yet? I'm going to read it again. Verse 32, and they brought unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they besought him to put his hands on him, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, so he was healed. So Jesus here ministered to this guy. He could not stop the word from spreading. I'm telling you that we have got to step into the place where in our daily lives we are laying hands on people and seeing them get healed. You want to see people get healed easy? Minister to people that are outside the church. Lay hands on people that are outside the walls of the church. Minister here in church too. I'm not saying don't do that. But there's only one person that can preach a service in each service. You know, you hear about people getting the microphone for a testimony and they take over the whole service. You know, there's one preacher. But you can't preach in every service, but you can minister to somebody in your daily life. God has people laid across your path. Minister to people the power of God. Be open for God to use you in power. Hallelujah. And He will. As you do that, it's going to grow in your life. The fire of God comes where there is a space prepared and there is wood prepared for the fire to burn. And if there's nothing but a desire for movies and social media in you, then the fire can't burn. You'll get touched by the Holy Ghost, but the fire of God won't be burning in your heart. But the fire of God is going to burn where you have made and prepared a place. It's like Elisha with the Shunammite woman. How when the Shunammite woman perceived that Elisha kept coming back and back, she finally turned to her husband and said, "I perceive that this is a great man of God here." And she built a room for him. And then God was able to move in her life and gave her a son and then raised her son up. Praise God. You got to make room for what God wants to do. How can you make room for what God wants to do through you? You need to make room for what God wants to do and deposit in you tonight. When hands are laid on you and services, when hands are laid on you, you got to be hungry. But later, you've also got to make a decision. How is God going to move through me to touch other people? Praise God, because that's what's going to increase the move of the Spirit of God on your life. That is what is going to increase the fire of God. That's where the tangible power of God is going to reside on the inside of your life so you can impact the life of other people. That's when you're going to lay hands on somebody at the office and they are going to get healed supernaturally. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, this is how it doesn't happen. It's by you never thinking about it, by you never reading the Word. That's one of the biggest things right there is never reading the Word. How much words reading have you done the last few weeks? And that, you got to study these Gospels. I'm going to tell you this right now. You need to have the Gospels and the book of Acts really at the highest priority of your reading in the Bible. I'll tell you right now, you don't need to be studying the Old Testament always and hardly ever spend any time in the New. There's a whole lot God cannot do in your life if it's all Old Testament reading. Read it all. I'm saying read it all. But you need to have a priority on the Gospels in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Well, I could hear a pin drop in here tonight. Just don't stick me with it. You got to have a priority on the Gospels. Do your daily reading and read through the Bible in a year. Read through the Bible in 2 years. But you know what? I did the read through the Bible thing in a year and it was great. And then I tried to do it the next year and it wasn't great. I had to lay that down because that's not where the Holy Ghost was leading me to read the Word. I'm going to tell you right now that if the reading through the Bible yearly is the only thing that you do and the Holy Ghost never reads you in your Bible reading, you're probably missing quite a bit that the Holy Ghost wants to speak to you. Hallelujah. You got to be Spirit-led in your Word reading. This is a rabbit trail, but we're going to get the rabbit. Praise God. You got to be Spirit-led in your Word reading. I have daily reading that I do that I believe. I just sit there and after I finish a segment, it may take me a few months of daily reading in a certain area. And before I go to the next daily reading, if I'm reading through the Gospels or if I'm reading through the 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, all the history of the kings, if I'm reading through all of that before I go to my next segment, I pray and I wait for the Holy Ghost to lead me on what I'm going to read through. And I have daily reading that I do. But then throughout the week, I may deviate from the daily reading because the Lord wants to speak to me something else in Ephesians, and I'm reading through the Gospels. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In your daily reading, God's going to speak to you, but it's got to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a habit of just carrying a real Bible with you. I love shouting and preaching. I'm going to get back to that in a minute, but I have a habit of carrying a real Bible with you.
That's good.
Because I'm going to tell you right now that you have the Bible on your phone and on your iPad, and that's the only place you have it. Here's what's going to happen. I don't have my phone. Is my phone over there? This is what's going to happen when you start to, you're just sitting there at Starbucks, and you're like, I'm going to read the Word. Here, you turn your phone on, and here you go. You swipe it, get the screensaver off, and then you go. And before you do that, you have three messages in Facebook Messenger. Oh, man, what is going on here? And then so-and-so said this. I can't believe that. No way. Donald Trump. And then you're going to Donald Trump's page. And 45 minutes later, you haven't read a single thing. That's exactly what's going to happen. You need to have a real Bible with you that you carry with you and that you use. Praise God. If nothing else, I'll tell you right now, I can turn to anything in the Word faster than you can find it on your cell phone. I can write notes. I can do all kinds of things with my Bible right here. Praise God. But in your daily reading, you want to get used by God, you've got to have a priority. And this has got to be the Spirit of God leading you. I'm not giving you law and bondage, but you've got to have the greatest emphasis on the Gospels and the book of Acts. And the epistles in there too, but the New Testament. But you have got to study the life and the ministry of Jesus. If you want to do what He did, you have to read what He did. And I'm telling you, it'll stir you up. If the only thing that you look at is Christian television, you're going to receive some, and other stuff, you might just end up having to give a $1,000 offering because your breakthrough won't come unless you give a $1,000 offering in the next 5 minutes. Load a bull, by the way. That's where you end up at. And I just have to say it because I've got an announcement out television, but I believe I have a right to talk about that. But... Read and study the ministry of Jesus. Read and study the book of Acts, because your life and this church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. You want to lay hands on people? You want to have the power of God to lay hands on people and see them get healed? And you want to be sitting there in the office or at work and have a word? I'm going to tell you right now, you can be going through the grocery store. You say, I don't have a job. All I do is shop. Well, you can go through the grocery store and all of a sudden this is what's going to happen. If you're reading the Word and you're praying, Lord, use me, and God, and you're hungry for God and hands are getting laid on you in these services, and you're going through the grocery store and you're going to see a lady, I'm telling you, this is how it's going to happen. You'll see a lady walking down, and she's got her purse and all these bags in there and a few kids walking with her, and you just all of a sudden you know that lady is so burdened down with her finances right now. It's about to kill her. And it'll come so naturally to you that you'll think everybody in the grocery store knows what you know. Because you're close to the Lord. It's just you know. It's not weird. You didn't have to throw olive oil from the olive oil section over your shoulder and dance on it in a charismatic kick. You didn't have to do all that stuff. You know what the charismatic kick is? You know, when people stand here and they do this thing and then you kick and then you kick. That's the charismatic kick. You can tell that I've been raised in Pentecost. I haven't seen anybody do that in a long time. I remember I was in a church years ago where we went when I was a kid, and they did that. There were some men every Sunday morning in praise and worship at a certain time, they would get together and do the charismatic kick, and they'd go in a circle back and forth here, and then they'd join elbows and do the thing together, and just talk, regardless of what God was doing, there they go. We just watch them. Hallelujah. They're in praise and worship. Hey, if it's unto the Lord, praise God. I'm not condemning anybody. But while I'm on the subject, you don't have to come up here and do it in front of everybody. If you want to spin tambourine and do all that and have streamers and all this stuff, you got to go to the back or to the side where you're not distracting God and everybody, because people have their eyes on Jesus. And when you come up here and start doing all this stuff right in front of pastor because you're so spiritual, you're not spiritual. You're in the flesh. Hallelujah. If you're spiritual, you can do it in your closet all by yourself, and you can do it here, praise God, but it'll be in the back. You don't have to distract people. People got to know the difference between a great demonstration of praise and worship and love before God and then doing it for pride because you're getting everybody's attention to look at you so you look spiritual. Hallelujah. That's rabbit trail number three. Rabbit's dead. We'll move on. Hallelujah. I got to back up and find out where that rabbit trail started. I forgot where I was. You want to be used by God, you got to read the Word. Read this Word. Revival is not so spiritual that you don't have to read the word. Revival is not so, it's not so spiritual that it goes beyond this word. And you, and I'm telling you, I'm just give you an encouragement as a New Year resolution. Make a resolution that you're going to study the Gospels for the first few months of this year. Unless you pray about it and the Lord says, no, don't do that, don't read my Gospels, then don't do it. I want to encourage you right now, read the Gospels and see yourself as Jesus and not just the woman with the issue of blood or just the deaf person. See yourself as Jesus ministering in power and laying hands on other people. See yourself being used by God. You want to be used by power? Begin to read the Gospels and lay hands on people. Begin to study and look at those things. I remember one time I was preaching for the youth ministry several years ago. And I spent all day Saturday preparing. And I was watching some Jack Coe videos. And I remember in high school, when I used to play basketball a whole lot, we would watch Michael Jordan's Come Fly With Me video and Dominique Wilkins, all these NBA stars. And that's how we'd get hyped up. You know, because we're like, if Michael Jordan can do this thing where he jumps and spins like this and brings the ball back down and comes across and dunks it, then I can do it too. So there's one big difference. His goal was 10 feet tall and mine was like 8.5. I'm just a white guy, I'm telling you. If you didn't notice, I'm just a white boy. So, you know, you watch the videos and you get excited. And I was watching Jack Coe videos. This is the same thing. I'm like, man, look at that guy. Somebody comes up with a tumor and he's like, so you have a tumor? Yeah, it's like a 6-inch tumor. And he's like, wham! It just punches him in the stomach and the tumor goes away. And I remember watching those things and my faith was so stirred up. Before I preached that Saturday, I had to go collect a bill, or I can't remember if I was collecting a check or paying a check to an electrician. I was probably paying an electrician over in Southside. And I went there and the son was there, but the dad was there that actually ran the business. And the dad came out in a wheelchair. And I was like, I've been waiting for this. You know, praise God. Praise God he's in a wheelchair. You know you're full of faith when you get excited when you see people with wheelchairs and walkers. Hallelujah. And I was excited, praise God. So I talked to him and found out that he had had a stroke. He had no control. And actually, when he came out of the hallway and came into the living room, I was watching his, you know, sitting on a wheelchair and that little foot thing's there. He's resting it on the foot plate. And the leg, the side that was paralyzed, hit the couch and his foot just twisted around like that. It looked painful, but he never felt a thing. He didn't even know his foot hit the couch. Because he was totally paralyzed. And I'm telling you, I prayed for that man, and he got up and began to walk back and forth there in that living room. Because my faith was stirred up. Hallelujah. My faith was stirred up. That's why I'm stirring you up right now. You want to see the power of God begin to manifest? Praise God, Basil's going to be here Sunday night, New Year's Day, on the New Year's Day, the evening. You want to receive the greatest touch from God when He lays hands on you that you've ever received? Find some people to go lay hands on between now and then and begin to really pray and prepare your heart to minister. And I'm telling you, the power of God will hit you so hard. Next time Pastor lays hands on you, next time Basil lays hands on you or anybody else, you won't know what's going on. God's going to speak to you something because God's able to work in you and work through you, praise God. That's the nature of the fire of God. If the fire stops having something to burn, it's going to burn out, praise God. It'll burn out in your heart. And God loves you. He'll pour the joy and pour a fresh touch into you every time hands are laid on you, but it's just going to be a little bit. If there's no outlet for you reaching other people, and I'm telling you right now, you do not have to have a ministry and a 501c3 for God to be able to use you and for you to be able to minister to other people. Amen. Praise God, I've got that and it's going great and I thank God for that. But you know how I got to this place? It's because I was being faithful to go lay hands on people, to go pray for people. I remember years ago, 15-something years ago, I had traveled and preached, but at this time I didn't have, you know, regular stuff going on. So after Sunday morning services, I would just go down to Southside and walk around and go witness to people after Sunday morning because I couldn't preach Sunday morning. Pastor was doing an awesome job, as he still does. So I wasn't trying to compete there. I was like, I'm just going to go and preach anyway. Praise God. And you don't have to have a 501c3. You don't have to have an ordination or any of these things. Go and minister to somebody and God is going to use you. Praise God. I used to do drive-by witnessing. And that was, I just wanted to do the hardest, toughest, craziest thing that there was. And we used to do real estate in low-income areas. We, you know, those house flipper guys, you know, buy a house for $5,000 and sell it for $15,000. We used to do that. And so we're in rough areas of town. So when I'm looking for houses or meeting somebody, after I was finished, I'd just go around the rough area and just drive around until I found the roughest looking group of guys that I could find. And I'd just drive straight up to them, throw it in park and get out and walk over and preach the word to them and get them saved. I've done that in project areas over in Dallas. You be faithful where you're at. God's got people for you to reach. I'm telling you, if it's a project area in Fort Worth or if you're at a mansion here in town, God's got somebody for you to speak the word to. Praise God. Speak and preach the word. Lay hands on somebody who's a multimillionaire. Don't have to sit back just because they got money and think they don't have any needs. They've got more needs than anybody else. Hallelujah. In verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Because the tangible power of God was at work. The tangible power of God was at work. We've got to get a hold of this, church. I'm telling you, this is where the breakthrough takes place. This is how what God is doing here in the church goes out beyond the walls in your daily life. And I'm telling you, as you are faithful in ministering to people here and there, then God's going to give you something bigger. You know, here in these meetings, I think I had 9 Wednesday nights in a row, and then Basil came. As soon as that happened, I was on the floor on my back, and God began to speak to me things about my ministry and Riley's ministry together that were just huge, huge. How does Donald Trump say it? Huge. I can't. They were just huge. God, and he began to speak to me huge things, but that's because I had been faithful and been pouring out in every season. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The tangible power of God. God's got that for you. I'm telling you, release it. Maybe next time I'll get into my notes, but I want to ask you again, where and who is an opportunity? Who is somebody that you know you can minister to in these next 7 days before you come back here next Wednesday night? Somebody you can preach to, get saved, and I'm telling you, get a word from God. I'm going to finish up with this testimony. This past Thanksgiving, we literally had revival at our family's table. We had the prayer, and after the prayer, we had some encouragement, and my brother-in-law had a word of knowledge for somebody, and then my sister had a word of knowledge for that person, and then I felt the anointing, and I'm not kidding. There was a word of knowledge that God gave me 8 years ago, and for probably about 2 or 3 times a year, I had this word of knowledge, a prophetic word for my younger sister come up. For about 7 or 8 years, and all of a sudden, there at our family table, we're having revival, laying hands on people. I'm telling you, the power of God touching people, you can have that happen this Christmas, praise God. Hallelujah. You have needy people in your family. People are going to respond to the love of God. If you're weird about it, and you know, if you have unsaved people at your dinner table, and you open in prayer, and you want to start doing a dance and bust out the tambourine and prophesying to the three winds before you try to get somebody, you know, touched, they're going to be so turned off by you. Just love them and be real, and God's going to speak to you something to that you can minister. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Operating in tangible power. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to lay hands on people before we wrap up and before we dismiss. But before we do that, I'm just going to receive the offering for my ministry, Harvest Ministries. You'll write your checks out to Calvary Cathedral. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. God's going to bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a big blessing to Riley and me, your support when you give in these offerings. And God's doing some awesome things in the television ministry. I can't say much more than what I'm about to say, but I will say this. This past Saturday was our last day on TBN. And the Lord, through a lot of prayer and counseling and just praying and talking with each other and through time, has put us back. We're going back on secular television here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hallelujah. So we can reach people. The time at TBN was a good time. It was the right thing at the right season. But we're in the process of making some moves towards Channel 27. It's a much bigger network, bigger audience. And we're going to be going after the lost. Praise God. We're going to be bringing them here, I believe, before this year's out. We're going to see people that are unsaved watching television and coming into this church. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're gearing up for that, and I can't say much more, but it's just really awesome, and we're excited. And my beautiful wife, Riley, is going to be co-hosting the Gospel Nation show with me. I think it was getting boring with just me up there, so the Lord brought me a beautiful wife. So she's going to be on the show, and it's going to be awesome, so praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessings and healing in his body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll be here Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Christmas morning. Praise God, it's going to be awesome. And I'm soul winning the rest of this week. Amen. Praise God. I want to go, ushers, you can go ahead and receive this offering. Hallelujah. Johnny, you got that, one of the upbeat songs y'all did earlier in the service. Trying to remember which one it was. There is a river. Was that it? Yeah. Can you do that one? I think just an upbeat song. We're going to lay hands on everybody that wants prayer tonight. I'm going to lay hands on you. So after you've given, praise God.